crying begin now. You'll witness a miracle if I make it through this, so please bear with me. I was excited because I went and purchased waterproof makeup, but I got it on my eyes and then I had to rub my eyes till they were beet red. So anyway, okay, this is a meditation from A.W. Tozer on being odd. A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen. He talks every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order that he might be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up. He is strongest when he is weakest. He is richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels his worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passeth knowledge. We realize that the decision to leave is an odd one. It's illogical and radical to some. Actually, I think sometimes it is to us too. We see in Genesis 12, God tells Abram to go. Abram, without questioning God, gets up and goes. God calls and he goes forth in faith without a map, not quite sure where he is going, but with trust in God's promised presence. I surely cannot compare myself to Abraham. I have questioned God's map at times and been angry. You know, sometimes when you're going through a dry spell and the Lord, you're like, I can't hear you. I don't know what you want. Please speak. I have felt the complete opposite. I hear what God is saying, and I want to curl in a ball and put my hands over my ears and not hear. Then I am reminded of all the times God has been so faithful to my family and myself. The times when we stepped out on faith and God has blessed us beyond what I thought was possible. I see him in our restored marriage. I see him through emergency surgeries and back surgeries. I see him through major depression, financial issues, and special needs with schooling. I see him through what felt like 4 years of being pregnant. I'm sure, and I'm sure with those pregnancy hormones, you guys definitely felt it right along with me. As one man once said to us, don't you guys own a TV? So, yeah, that was classic. I see my husband love the Lord and people in a way that has me standing in awe and saying, how did we get here? Who are these people? I look back on our journey and I see how God has worked. And the question becomes, how can we not obey? How can we not trust that he, the one who made us, the one who has always had our backs, and the one who holds the universe together, does not have our best interest? I have seen the amazing things he has done with my own eyes. I definitely need reminding sometimes, but I have seen it, and I'm living it. When I am in that mindset, and my eyes are fixed on him, there is nothing else to say, but not my will, but yours be done. Lately, I've been comparing this as sending Aliana off to college. As she moved onto her new season, I felt like she was taking a piece of my heart with her. We have to let go of this girl who we have cared for, loved, and nurtured for 18 years. We took care of her when she was helpless, and we kept her alive. Were there hard times? Of course, there are in any family. I'm also starting to go through this same thing with Elijah, even though he's not moving to a different state. Even though we have poured our heart, sweat, and tears into them, there comes a point where the relationship changes and we have to let go. for them to flourish and grow, I have to let them go. They are not called to stay in our house forever. If they stayed with us, we would be stunting their growth. We have to trust the training that we have given them and let them fly. For 17.9 years, this church has cared for our family. You have nurtured and cared for us. You have rejoiced, ministered, and wept with us. You have been our shoulder to cry on, or the hand that has helped empower us and lift us up. You have trained us, fed us, and poured out your love on us. Words cannot express how grateful we are to all of you. And I wish I could stand here and tell you each how you've touched one of touched our lives, each one of you. As I'm learning with Aliana, just because she's not in the same house as us, and just because I don't hear from her 10 times a day, doesn't mean that our bond or love is less. Matter of fact, I am relying on the Lord so much more where my big children are concerned. Like Aliana, just because we are not here physically at this church every week does not mean our bond or our love is any less. Our love for all of you is so much stronger than the building we worship in. Thank you to each one of you for everything that you have done. Thank you.
Ditto. Okay, say, uh-oh, he brought his Bible up there. What the heck? What can I say? I got some notes, but I don't know if I'll stick to them or not. I ditto everything Diane said. That is exactly my sentiment. So just what she said, say Eloy feels that way too. I'm going to talk more about future. Just to give context on the divorce comment, it was more like, how do you start all over with a new family of believers as if you've been married for 20 years? How do you start all over with a new spouse? Like, so much history, so much love, so much memories, so many memories and such a strong bonding to go somewhere else and think, how do I start all over? That was it. But maybe I should have said death, not divorce, you know, if one spouse dies. Just a real quick testimony. So finding a job is hard work. I thought when God told us to move on that I could just lay in bed and he would like snap a finger. But I sense like he does want me to do some work on it. So the church was gracious to give me time in my last month to be engaged in looking for work. And so I was on ZipRecruiter putting out my information and my skill set. And a lot of cool things were popping up, things that pay big money, like $200,000 a year. I'm like, yo, I'll take that. I'm just applying. And when the rubber meet the road, those people didn't call me. But, you know, I had several phone interviews and a couple that were actually leading toward moving forward, and I had to turn them down because it wasn't good for my family. And there was a point maybe about a month ago where I was leaving work. It was after 5. I was leaving here. I was the last one in the building. And I was pretty discouraged. I was kind of dejected. And I said, Lord, what have I done? Did I hear you? Did we make a mistake? Made a huge mess of our life and everything that's going on right now. And I said that while I'm sitting in the parking lot there. And when I pull out of the parking lot and turn, hit on Clark, you have that picture? I make a left on Clark, and that's what I see behind me, a Toyota symbol. It says Joshua 1:9. Right as soon as I get out on Clark, Joshua 1:9. So just to make sure I know what that is, I look at it, and it's, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. I will not leave you or forsake you. So God didn't let me brew in that depressive state for very long. He, 2 minutes, and he gave me a word from him. And there were many, many I could write a little booklet on what he's been doing in our lives as a couple and personally during this time. It's just been incredible. I've learned recently it's always more important what God is doing in you through a circumstance. What is he doing in you? What is he showing you? What is he teaching? What is he revealing about himself? What is he showing about yourself? And so it's important to look at that when we're going through stuff. With the new building, new staff, new change, new transition, new people. There's a lot of people here that don't even know me that I've never even met. There's a lot of new things going on around here. And with that, I would encourage you guys not to lose sight of what perhaps caused you to decide to come to Scranton when you first visited, when you had multiple visits, and that's the people. The people is what's important. You came here and you likely saw a community that was diverse, a community that loved the Lord, a pulpit where the word of God came from, people that welcomed you, people that loved you with open arms, people that reached out to you. And I just encourage you guys, don't lose sight of that in the chaos and in the excitement of all these new things. Continue to be a loving group of people within this building. Just want to share a little story. I don't know if she's here, but about a year ago, we were sitting in the side room of the old building, and it was Communion Sunday. And we were in the side room. First, we used to be left-siders, then we were right-siders, then we were back-roomers, and then we became side-roomers. So we were in the side room for the last few years. Anyway, it was Communion Sunday. I was sitting there. I had the cup. I'm hunched over. You know, by the way, all those good things you guys said about me, I don't recognize that person. I'm a mess inside. So anyway, I'm hunched over trying to look holy. And, you know, I got the cup. And eyes closed, eyes open. All of a sudden, the cup just falls right out of my hand. I didn't fall asleep, I promise. Linda Timmerman's cracking up because she thought I fell asleep. I didn't fall asleep, I wouldn't lie. Cup just falls out of my hand. I watch it. It spills. And I'm kind of like, what do I do? I pick up the cup. I'm like, what do I do? This is like embarrassing. It's weird. There's no juice now. And... Rita Ballinger is sitting next to me. Are you here, Rita? She's a nurse. Rita Ballinger is sitting next to me. She says, what happened? I tell her what happened. I didn't fall asleep. And she takes her cup and pours half of it into my cup. And that's what I mean about the people of this congregation. That's a mark of love. That's a mark of someone who's like Christ, someone who's been with Jesus. And she's not the only one in here who would have done that, not the only one in here who's like that. So I encourage you guys to love people, remember what you felt when you were welcomed here, and continue to strongly look out for new faces, reach out to them, welcome them. When I was younger, a weird white guy came up to me and asked for my number my second Sunday. Funny Hawaiian shirt. I gave him my number. He actually called me, and we started having coffee at McDonald's. Now, for a Puerto Rican kid who grew up in New York City, that's kind of weird. Coffee at McDonald's is weird. With a white guy, he's even weirder. So, but that's what started it. And I encourage you guys who are younger, if you want to grow, if you want to be strengthened, you need not old people. You need people who live some life. You need them. It's the way God designed community. It's the blessing of having a church family. So if you're younger, I encourage you, don't wait for someone to come to you. Call someone. Say, hey, I if you see somebody and you like what they're doing with their life, you like how they're living their single life, you like how they're living their married life, you like how they're living their married life with kids, you appreciate how they're living their divorce life, whatever, you have a vision for what you want to do, reach out to them and say, hey, I'd love to hang out with you and learn some of what you've done with life. How has God impacted you? People who've lived a lot of years, don't wait for those young ones to come to you. Go up to them, get their number, call them. You don't have to wear a weird shirt. Well, Bob Beckstrom can have a weird shirt on. Call them, invite them out. Intergenerational stuff, it's really good. Pastor Che used to say this quote, church civility can be the worst form of oppression. And I don't know if he got it from somewhere, he probably did. Church civility can be the worst form of oppression. In the place where we're supposed to be free, in the place where we're supposed to be forgiven, in the place where we're supposed to be comfortable and safe, if you can't be that way, it can be so oppressive and kill your spirit. Unfortunately, sometimes churches can be the place where you feel most judged, where you feel most uptight, where you feel like you can't be yourself, where you feel like you can't be vulnerable, you can't be honest. I'm not saying to come up here and spill your beans, but in these groups that Mark mentioned, these all the stuff that's happened in our life, be vulnerable with the right people at the right time. And don't be fake. Keep it real. Can you say keep it real? Keep it real. Just be who you are and continue to do these things. You guys have done them. We have done them well, I think. But when we do them well, it's when it's easy to fall back. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So keep doing them well. This place is marked by God's presence. Now just look at Exodus 33. When God threatened not to go with Moses and the people, Moses said, if your presence will not go, don't carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth. So he's basically saying the only thing special about us is that you're with us. If you're not with us, don't send us. God is in this place. He's amongst you. Remember that. Foster it. Just one last thing. If you feel bored in your faith, if you feel I'm doing the same thing over and over again, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, what's the point? I challenge you to re-engage, because God is not boring. God is very exciting. He's infinite. We can't learn enough about him. We can't know enough about him. We can't experience enough of him. And so if you've come to a place where it's easy to happen, where you're stagnant in your faith and in your walk with Christ, revisit that. Pay attention to that. Write it in your journal. And then do this. Re-engage with the spiritual disciplines or test them for the first time. Spiritual disciplines, in my view, are vital for Christian transformation and for vigor and for vitality and for life. They're not for earning any credit with God. They're not for earning his love. They're not for earning a better place in the kingdom. They're simply, just like anything else in life, you want to be good at a language, you want to be good at a skill, you want to be good at driving, you got to discipline yourself and practice it, and then you'll get good at it. It's no different with our spiritual lives. We have to bring our bodies to God like we see in the Gospels, like we see Jesus doing, like we see all over the Bible. All these people bringing their bodies to God in different ways so that he can meet us and do what only he can do. So I encourage you guys to lean into that. Keep the core of who you are at Scranton Road, this church on the corner. Remember what it was that you felt comfortable about when you came here. And love God and love people. Read Dallas Willard along with your Bible. It'll change your life. God will change your life through his teachings. Renovation of the Heart, the best book I've ever seen on spiritual transformation. That's it. Thank you.